Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Ooh, them Texans, it's been a tough first week, baby. It is a tough first week. The hits just keep on coming. DeAndre Hopkins is out there balling. The Arizona Cardinals are beating the NFC champs from last year. Texans struggled on Thursday night, and Jadeveon Clowney goes tonight. So in a time and in a week, on a day when, man, it's tough sledding for the Texans. Well, I got a little positivity for you, baby. The Texans, they're out there talking. Texans running back David Johnson addressed the media today. And this is David Johnson talking about how he felt in his first game.
Well, I felt great. I felt great being out there. And our line did a great job blocking for me. Made my job a lot easier. And moving forward, I can't wait to get going. Really got to just build on it. Breaking more tackles. I think to myself, I still had a couple more yards I left on the field. And I just got to improve on that aspect. And then just in the passing game, a couple routes I wish I could have got back where Deshaun was looking for me. And I just ran the wrong route. So continue to correct those mistakes and building from that.
That's your Houston Texans running back, RB1, David Johnson. Look here, man. Like I said, I know there's not a whole lot of good to take from total domination on Thursday night by the Kansas City Chiefs, but David Johnson is – he's special. He's a back that, again, he's a three-down back that's obviously we've heard about how dangerous he's been in the pass game before. We've seen him put up big-time stats in the past. There's no doubt about it. But, man, there's nothing like laying your own eyes on it for the first time in a Texans uniform. And I'm going to tell you, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be special this year. The twitch is next level. The jump cut's still there. The speed, the versatility – that is all next level, a big-time improvement for the Texans. And after week one, I was extremely encouraged by what this guy brings to the offense. Assuming Tim Kelly can continue to get him mixed in and Deshaun Watson can continue to get him the ball, David Johnson was a very, very bright spot in a game where there just wasn't very many.
Well, Clint, you know I put my flag down for David Johnson
sure
in March.
Sure you did.
But I think they just scratched the surface with him, right?
Yeah.
I think there are other ways that they can use him. They used him in a traditional, like running back screen, but I saw him get split out as a wide receiver, yeah. the wide receiver, and I thought maybe they might do something out of that. They didn't explore him as a route runner as a wide receiver. This dude, like the elite thing that he does from the running back position is he can literally run routes like receivers
do,
and out of breaks and things of that nature, and go and attack and find the ball and high point the ball like a receiver.
Yeah.
So I think they've just scratched the surface. I don't know why I just scratched like that in front of you, but I think they just scratched the surface with David Johnson, and he's got a chance for a big-time season.
Yeah, I mean, show, man, when you look, the one thing that the Kansas City Chiefs never stopped was David Johnson.
No.
I mean, he was –
and he would be dead to rights. They would kick – I mean, Titus Howard had a horrible game, so he was – sometimes – Frank Clark, they would be right there.
Yeah.
He did that jump cut.
How'd he do it?
that there jump cut, and he's out, baby.
Yeah, yeah. He had a good, that was a bright spot, big time bright spot. Also Texans, new Texans receiver Brandon Cooks. He talked to the media today and talked about his confidence level going into week two.
I'm confident. I mean, confident going into last game. You know, I think going into this game, we got that same confidence. But at the end of the day, we got to execute throughout the week so we can continue to keep that. And I think we will definitely do that.
So here's what I pulled from that show. What I'm excited about, right, is we talk about all the time about how if the receivers don't practice, it's going to be difficult for Deshaun Watson to get on the same page with these particular guys. When you play with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, whether he practices or not throughout the week it's important, obviously, but the way he plays the game, you just got to get the ball in his catch window wherever he's at that moment, and he goes and makes the play. It's less about timing. It's less about separation. It's less about necessarily being on the same page with DeAndre Hopkins than it is with these guys. So it is of the utmost importance that Fuller and Brandon Cooks practice throughout the week, that they practice hard throughout the week, and that they get that chemistry right with Deshaun Watson. And so right there in the middle of that cut, Brandon Cooks said, I'm confident this week is like I was last week, but we've got to get the reps during the week. That tells me that Brandon Cooks is going to be at practice this week, and he understands the significance of being on the field with his quarterback and being on the same page with his quarterback and gaining that chemistry with Deshaun Watson.
That's got to be where we see a difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
Barring that Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil and Nick Martin and Zach Fulton and Max Sharpley, barring that they can come and play football the way that we know that we believe that they can, there should be a big improvement in that passing game, because that was probably the most disappointing part, where you see the skills and the guys they have, and you're like, the hell they put that out.
Yeah, I would expect that chemistry, that timing, Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller to be much better moving forward. Wide 80. Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Houston Texans, he also spoke, and I'm be honest with you, man, I'm not surprised at what I heard Bill O'Brien say. In fact, it validates what Sean Pendergast and I talked immediately about in the postgame show right here on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. We talked about, hey, my number one takeaway immediately was the run defense is going to be a problem. This is Bill O'Brien talking about how to improve the run defense, and there's some alarming stats in there.
We just need to do – everybody's just got to do their job better. I think that, every offense is different, John. So, you know, with what the Chiefs were doing, you know, it was different than what the Ravens are going to do. But it still comes down to, you know, playing your gap and doing what the call dictates you to do. And then you got to make the tackle. We missed too many tackles. We missed 20 tackles in a game, which the Chiefs missed tackles too, but not as many as we did. So in the end, we have to tackle better. We have to play our gap better. And we just need to do a more consistent, better job at defending the run.
Tackle better. 20 missed tackles. You know how many offensive plays the Kansas City Chiefs ran? 67. Out of 67 plays, and the Texans had 20 missed tackles. Now, I expected the missed tackles to be an issue week one for everybody.
Yeah, they hadn't practiced.
They hadn't practiced. They damn sure hadn't practiced full speed all the way down. The Texans damn sure hadn't. I think the Chiefs may have. There's some teams out there you can tell probably went a little harder in camp than the other one did. But there's no doubt about it. You can't miss tackles. But, show really the part of that piece of audio from Bill O'Brien that sticks out to me is when you're talking about gap integrity, gap discipline by defensive linemen, like, it's about getting where you're supposed to be and not letting anybody stop you from getting where you're – it's not about trying to tackle Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's not about trying to tackle Lamar Jackson. It's about getting where in the hell you're supposed to be there, forcefully getting there, and in the scheme causes problems, or because you're getting where you're supposed to be, the linebackers have free run. And I look at this Texans team, show, and – there's no excuse for missed tackles. Not that many. So I don't want to make an excuse for that at all. But I look at the not being in the gap you're supposed to be in by Charles Omenihu, Ross Blacklock, Brandon Dunn. These ain't cats that can just blow assignments and not be in the gap that they're supposed to be in.
And make it up like Aaron Donald or something.
Yeah, yeah, with J.J. Watt, sometimes he freestyles and shoots the gap. When he, now, after Thursday night, I would suggest and advise that J.J. Watt be where he's supposed to be too. But we're not talking about guys like you said, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, where you can't go too many games without being in the right gap. Or you're going to be out of here.
And it, as you said, it defeats the purpose of the defense. Now, Bernard McKinney and Zach Cunningham weren't great behind them either. Even when they did have free run, they still weren't making tackles. But the strategy of the scheme is you take up blockers. You're supposed to fill this gap. You take away blockers, you keep the guard, you keep the center so they can't get to the linebacker.
Well, you funnel
and get to the second level.
Yeah, you would funnel a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire to the unblocked defender, and that guy's got to make the tackle. I mean, that's ultimately they were not only not in their gap, but they were getting pushed beyond the line of scrimmage way too often in a big way. And so that defense, I just don't know that they've got time to improve to be able to slow down Baltimore, but we'll see, baby. Red 22. I got to eat some crow, man. I got to eat some crow. And it's pretty easy. To be honest with you, it's pretty easy to admit, man. I called earlier this year, Cam Newton was totally done. Done. The last time I saw Cam Newton play, I saw him missing throws that I think Tyler could make right now if we went out in the parking garage right now. I think Tyler could hit me from about 20 yards away. I saw Cam one hopping nose.
With an NFL football, there's no chance in hell.
Now you're getting hateful.
20
now,
yards.
Now you're banging on Tyler. You're just taking an opportunity to bang on Tyler.
I can't make that throw.
The fact of the matter is, I can't.
In NFL football, not a chance.
Hey, the fact of the matter is I should not have, I'll never say. I was dead ass wrong, right? What Cam Newton and Josh McDaniels did yesterday, it was absolutely beautiful. McDaniels tailored the offense to Cam Newton's strengths, and then they executed it in the first half so beautifully with Cam Newton in the run game, and then they adjusted at halftime. And this is where I was convinced, that I was dead wrong, was when Cam Newton came back out, and my man made about, I don't know, five or six throws in that third quarter. It wasn't anything major, wasn't big gains down the field, but there was some technical things that were just so impressive. And I hadn't seen those things on the screen the last time that I saw Cam Newton play ball. And so what I saw right then and there, I had to just eat crow and say, look, I was wrong, man. They made the adjustment at half. They schemed up some high percentage throws for the quarterback. They used their run game. They went back to using that run game late in the game to milk the clock and ice the game. Not only was I wrong on Cam Newton, Josh McDaniels, you deserve a salute. And I'm here to tell you, Houston, the New England Patriots are on your roster moving forward. I thought with no Brady, with no weapons on offense, I thought be a cakewalk, no problem.
Yeah,
Cam Newton got something else coming.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels is really showing himself to be one of the real good offensive minds in this league. Like we saw him a little bit with Jacoby Brissett when he had a little short window with him, and now how he's doing this. When you can do this with different quarterbacks. And the talent they have over there,
yes,
that's big time. All right, there is a person in the NFL who, if I said was underrated, you'd think I'm crazy. Well, that person, I believe, is completely underrated. We'll get into that coming up next.
This kind of stuff chaps my hide, man.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
It is a Reaction Monday, and remember, we're off early, 5 o'clock. The Bill O'Brien Show follows us. We'll see his preview of the Ravens, and maybe he'll talk a little bit more about the struggles on Thursday night against Kansas City. But behind us, the Bill O'Brien Show coming up at 5 o'clock. Dude, I was listening to Bill Belichick earlier today, and I'm listening to him, and he speak after the game, and he spoke about Cam Newton, who you've admitted you were wrong about. He spoke about Cam Newton, and he was really, really glowing about Cam Newton. And when you think about Bill Belichick, it was more complimentary than you normally hear him. And when I heard it, I thought to myself, see,
even though Bill Belichick is thought of as being one of the greatest coaches in the game, he has 6 Super Bowls, he still may be underrated. This is Bill Belichick after the game talking about Cam Newton.
Yeah, well, Cam's done great for us. He's a very, very unselfish player. He's a great teammate. He's earned everybody's respect, really daily. It's really all you can ask from anyone, and he continually does that. Puts himself last and puts the team first. So, you know, I thought he played well today. You know, I thought that he did a good job. I mean, look, there's room for improvement from all of us. So, you know, I'm not saying it was the best executed game in the history of football, but we did some good things today in all 3 phases of the game. We're proud of that, and we'll go back to work on the things that we need to do better.
That is Bill Belichick, and like I said, I think I'm listening to it. I think he's underrated as a coach even more. Or greater of a coach even more than we think. Because when we think of Bill Belichick, Clint, we think of, man, this dude has X's and O's and he can scheme anything. But most people would say to themselves, you go to New England because he's got the rings, you just do what he says. What Bill Belichick proved right there, because many people listen to that and hear, oh, man, he really loves Cam Newton. He's trying to send a shot to Tom Brady. I've heard that. Man, he don't give a damn nothing about what Tom Brady's thinking. Bill Belichick don't care about that. What Bill Belichick showed you is, I'm not only someone who can work with scheme, I'm with someone who does exactly what all great coaches do, and that's know how to handle my players. See, Tom Brady, who he's never really praised like that, Clint, you know Brady. I feel like you are more in the Brady camp. Tom Brady's a 6th-round pick. He fights on the, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You can't even start over Drew Henson at Michigan. You got to split time there. He feeds off that. Cam Newton, you can't do Cam like that. Cam Newton is a guy who needs praise. Cam Newton is a guy that needs you to prop him up to make him feel better, to make him feel good. He operates better that way. If you beat Cam down, I don't think you get the best Cam Newton. And Bill Belichick just showed why he's even a better coach. You think he handled Randy Moss the same way that he handled Tom Brady? I don't think so. And now we're seeing, oh, he handles guys different. That wasn't a shot to Tom Brady. That was a Cam Newton's a guy who needs to be hugged more. And as a great coach, I know how to talk to and handle my players, and that's what he did. Even better a coach than we thought.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference in how he handled those 2 players. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I watched the Tampa New Orleans game, and the first rattle out of the box, what I heard was how happy Tom Brady was to be in Tampa and be, I don't know, the game be fun again, not be. And in fact, that they actually mentioned, the commentator mentioned, not being yelled at in team meetings. And so, yeah, there's definitely a big time difference between the way Bill Belichick addressed Tom Brady and the way that he addresses Cam Newton. I love your point. I don't know how much of I don't know how the hell Bill Belichick handled Randy Moss. I don't know how the hell really all we hear is hearsay. But I'll agree, that right there was totally different. I love a coach that understands exactly what Bill Belichick did here, was pushing your players' buttons to get the best out of them. Ultimately is what Bill Belichick does. He does it differently with Tom Brady than he did with Cam Newton, and vice versa. But simply being aware of that characteristic or being aware of your quarterbacks in that kind of depth to where you know gives you a real advantage. Because there's a lot of coaches out there. There's a lot of coaches out there that just don't understand how important your quarterback being in the right frame of mind is.
Yep.
And how important your quarterback, doing what your quarterback does best consistently. People don't understand how important that. There's a lot of coaches making a lot of money that just don't excel at that. And that is the most, quarterback touches a rock every single snap. How in the world do you think it helps your football team to not have him in his right frame of mind, not be punching the right buttons to get the best version of him, not be game planning and calling plays that to showcase the strengths of your quarterback? Bill Belichick does that. He did it great with Brady, and he clearly did it. He did it for 1 week with Cam Newton.
Yeah, listen, and I think it's an argument that many people have and say, God, I don't know if Bill O'Brien picked up that trait. And I think there's that's why one of the things, Clint, I was so hard upon, God, you can't trade DeAndre Hopkins without talking to Deshaun Watson. You can't make that move, because what Bill Belichick is doing with Cam is building trust. He's building trust with the most important player on his team.
Touches the ball every snap.
He's the quarterback, right. As you said. He's building trust. To me, that's why I was so big on that's a mistake. Deshaun Watson can't find out about the trade of DeAndre Hopkins the way he did. He can't find out that way, because you got to build trust. Right now, we'll see how it works out from the rest of the way, and I think they have tried to make that situation better than it was at the time. But when you look at what Belichick is doing, and many people just, oh, he's a drill sergeant. No, he's showing you, man. Nope, he can handle his players. He'll even let Cam wear that ridiculous ass yellow suit that he had on yesterday.
Yeah, that was hideous. I don't know why the hell Cam does that.
It was the hat. The hat again.
I think somebody snatched his chain off his neck. Looked like a colonel.
Was Aqib Tlaib there somewhere?
No, Tlaib wasn't there.
You know, Aqib is a chain snatcher.
I think it was number 54 linebacker. He was going at him after the game, man. And then it panned off of him. And then when they brought the camera back to him, he was looking for one of his necklaces was out, and he was looking for it. I think somebody snatched that thing in the group.
But no, man, you got to do that. And Belichick, I'm telling you, Belichick is not thinking about Tom Brady. He's not going to the media and handling questions for the thought of Tom Brady, right? And I just think that was completely because he knows he has to handle Cam a certain way. There's something that you talked about, Clint Sterner, in the show right here on Houston's Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. There's something you talked about earlier when you were confessing that you screwed up about Cam.
How many times you gonna mention that?
Can you just
say he had a good game and let's move
on? I'm just saying you said it, and I just don't want.
I mean, see, I mean, like, I mean, you discourage a man from just eating crow and just saying, you know what? You're not gonna discourage me by no means, but you mentioned it about 18 times.
I'm gonna make you eat it. But you talked about how McDaniels tailored the offense to Cam, and that he did all of the things that Cam does well. God, you can't look at that, and you could not have watched that and thought, they could sure use a lot of tailoring into the offense with the Texans, with Deshaun Watson. They could more do things that are tailored to his abilities even more. And Thursday was one game, but we got to see that more. If they were able to accomplish that in, what, less than 2 months with Cam Newton, Josh McDaniels, yeah. You got to see that with the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, they established the inside run. They included the quarterback. Here's the deal. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that the Texans' offense should look like what the Patriots did on Sunday. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that. But I'm saying if in 2 months, the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, can take Cam Newton, build an offense around him, tailor it completely to his strengths. They established a run, which included the quarterback runs in the first half. And at halftime, they schemed up some high-percentage throws for the quarterback off of the run that you'd already established. And then they used the run game late to milk the clock and ice the game. And when I see all that, I immediately go, well, why is it so difficult to just use Deshaun Watson in a similar fashion? Not pull it and run up between the tackles, but the zone read stuff, some of the outside stuff, some of the outside different quarterback runs outside. I'm not saying you risk his health. I'm not saying you run him 82 times in a night, but I'm saying that you make it an emphasis. Let the defensive coordinator know, hey, I will keep this ball and I will hit you. I will crease you if you don't account for me. Why is it so difficult to get that accomplished in Houston on a consistent basis? And I'm tired of hearing the fear of injury stuff. I mean, the fear of injury is just when you've got an athletic quarterback, the fear of injury is higher than if you have a pocket passer. But also you got a lot more opportunity to make plays when he can move with his legs. So it's a risk reward. I get that. But I just can't. I hate the whole fear of injury thing. Cam Newton had 15 carries for 75 yards. Josh Allen had 14 carries for 57 yards. Lamar Jackson had 7 for 45 yards in a blowout versus the Browns. It would have been more than that if that had been a competitive game. Kyler Murray versus one of the best defenses in the game last year, if not the best, the NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers. Kyler Murray, 13 carries for 91 yards. You know how many carries Deshaun Watson had?
One, I believe.
One
was
for
a touchdown, though.
Several scrambles, one for a touchdown.
But one design run.
I just don't. And that was a time, you know, I understand if you're clicking on offense and things are popping, hey, man, you're not going to get any complaints from me. But there was plenty of opportunity to go, hey, man, we got to establish some things here. There was plenty of opportunities, and it never got accomplished. How are these other teams getting it accomplished with similar quarterbacks in terms of dual threat guys? How are these other teams? How in the hell is Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills a favorite to make a run in the playoffs, and he's out there balling lights out with 14 carries, 57 yards? I mean, how's that happening?
I mean, they are. You have to admit that right now they are putting their quarterbacks and using everything that their quarterbacks could do at a higher rate than the Texans are, right? And that is one piece that's not just this year. That is a piece that's even the last couple of years.
Yeah, all four of these quarterbacks won, by the way. And yep. All four of those teams are playoff contenders, if not Super Bowl contenders.
Now, I will say, I don't know if the Texans would have won the game if Deshaun ran it more, but yeah.
You would at least hope they would be. I don't know.
They would be doing things that he does better. All right, Bill O'Brien had, let's just be honest, call a spade a spade. He had a bad weekend. But when you break it down, it's to me even worse than what it shows on the surface. We'll get into that next.
On Sports Radio 610 with Clint Sterner and the show.
Thanks, Tyler, for playing this song. I know what this is about. I'm sure so many people are going crazy now after hearing that song. Look at Clint and Tyler just really, really feeling it. That's all right. Bill O'Brien show coming up behind us here at 5 o'clock. We are off at 5 because the Bill O'Brien show is coming behind us. So may hear some things about the game against the Chiefs. May and probably hear some things as they look ahead to the Ravens this Sunday. Speaking of Coach O'Brien, Clint, it was I can only speak honestly. It was a bad weekend. I mean, it was a bad, bad, bad weekend for Bill O'Brien in every single way. I mean, his game he lost, the way his players came out and played, the way he led his players out there to play, the decisions he made and how he went about camp leading into how ready they were or lack thereof of readiness they were to play, to then DeAndre Hopkins going the hell off. Hell, let's start there. DeAndre Hopkins, you knew everybody, and this isn't just a Houston thing. This is a national thing. Everybody's going to watch what DeAndre Hopkins does each and every week and then go and look and, Bill O'Brien, the hell you do that for? And this 14 catches over 150 yards and certainly did not help his cause.
Yeah, I mean, look, Thursday night, the AFC champion, Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs embarrassed you, right? You traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals, and they're playing the NFC representative in the Super Bowl from a year ago. Pretty good team.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good defense. And, you know, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to say, well, Hopkins went to a team that hadn't had as much success as of late as the Texans have had, Arizona. Well, Hopkins and company, they elevated their play to a point where they beat the San Francisco 49ers. And big-time win for Arizona. And Hopkins absolutely balled out. I'm not one that sits here and goes, hey, man, DeAndre Hopkins would have helped the Texans win that game against Kansas City. I'm not one that looks at one game and goes, you're not going to be able to make up for the absence of DeAndre Hopkins with the guys that you have in here. You're not going to be able to move the football. You're not going to be able to produce. I refuse to do that at this point in time. I don't even look at it in game and go, oh boy, well, it'd be nice if the Texans had DeAndre Hopkins. Like that, they don't have him. He's gone, so there's no sense in thinking that way, in my opinion. But you can't help but look at this thing and feel like the worst case scenario keeps unfolding for Bill O'Brien. Because if we want to go back a little further, Clowney going to the Titans is not a good look. Just being in division, that's not a good look, right?
And or so, at least it sets it up for a potential really, really bad look for him.
Well, he's a good enough player where that's just not ideal. That's just not a good
look. No, yeah.
But he plays tonight.
Oh, hell.
So in a moment when you think that it can't get much worse, right? The Texans' passing game was garbage. Hopkins balled out. Texans lost to the Super Bowl champs. Arizona beat the NFC champs. Texans' defense was atrocious, particularly against the run. And then guess who plays tonight? Jadeveon Clowney with the Titans, and he's one of the best run disruptive players in terms of stopping the run. I would suspect if he gets on the field tonight that he's going to help the Tennessee Titans stop the run, and he might just rush the passer.
I think there's a portion of Texans fans that will just stay up all night long and until he makes a real obvious one play. I mean, he can get one tackle for loss for 2 yards, and it will be better than anything Whitney Mercilus did on Thursday night, and people are going to go, no matter that those two players were here when the Texans were losing playoff games like 30-0 to the Colts.
Right.
And DeAndre Hopkins was here last year doing the 51-7 run that the Chiefs put on him. And can the Texans still do the things that they want to do? Can you still see, if you're being honest with yourself, this team be successful with the parts they have? Yeah. They got to play a hell of a lot better than they did on Thursday. Yeah, but I'm with you. It does not matter. Because anytime DeAndre Hopkins outperforms, and when he outperforms the totality of the receivers that the Texans brought in, like when he has just almost as many yards as Will Fuller, Randall Cobb, and Brandon Cooks, like when he does that, yeah, it's going to look worse for Bill O'Brien.
Well, hell, it should.
Yeah.
I mean, it should. It's one thing. I just don't like having a conversation of, well, boy, we really could have used DeAndre Hopkins. We don't know. The game plan would have been totally different with DeAndre Hopkins. It would have been a whole different deal. Would he have made some plays? Hell yeah, there's no doubt about it.
But the thing we do know would have been the same as Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I'm not sure that changes.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just one of those deals where you go, okay, but what I can look at is it is totally unacceptable for those three receivers you just mentioned to have a total of 153 yards. Against a Kansas City defense who was already down one starting corner, and the other starting corner, I believe, broke his hand in the game.
In the first quarter.
So you had a secondary that was hurting mightily from the jump, and it got worse in the game. And your three guys, who are very, 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 very talented guys, had 153 yards. That's unacceptable. We can throw DeAndre Hopkins in the mix, too. He balled it. I'm going to tell you what. DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is liable to have the best season he's ever had this year. He is a perfect fit in an air raid system. And they're clearly going to work to get him the football underneath as much, if not more, than the Texans did last year. I would fully expect him to continue to produce in a big, big, big way. And it wouldn't surprise me if the double-digit catches weren't every damn week. It wouldn't surprise me if this literally statistically was his best year of his career.
No, yeah. Like, listen.
It's a perfect fit in that system. And Kyler Murray's a baller, and Cliff Kingsbury is going to make them. Because when you look at DeAndre Hopkins, like, the reason to me he worked so well in an air raid system is because the whole goal is to make them – they're going to make the defense defend sideline to sideline. And when that's the case, if you overload Hopkins, then Kyler Murray's going to get out the back door on you, not for 10. He's going to get out the back door for 30 or 40, right? When you overload Hopkins, that leaves future Hall of Famer Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk and Kenyon Drake out of the backfield. They specialize in attacking zones on the field, and – if you create more zones because one guy – wider zones on one side of the field because you're giving DeAndre Hopkins too much attention, this whole scheme is designed to attack the field in those other zones. And so there's no – it's going to be harder to double and tilt coverage to DeAndre Hopkins. It wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't continue to put, if this isn't just an everyday weekend, 14 catches.
Yeah, but Clint, nobody's surprised that he has a dominant performance. He's still a great player, right?
100%.
Yeah, we've said that. We've said he's still a great player. The Texans went in a different direction, right? But he's still a great player. Nobody is shocked by that. See, all of those things, I think, are surface things that you can look at and easy things, and especially if you have a want-to that Bill O'Brien and the decisions they made to be wrong, this is a big help for you. But to be honest, the reason why it was such a bad weekend for Bill O'Brien, to me, he really spoke on it. He spoke on it as he spoke to the media earlier today. This was Bill O'Brien earlier, and when you listen to him, this is why the weekend was so bad.
I think you learn a lot in the first game, especially this one. You know, obviously there were some good things in the game, you know, obviously not enough, but there was a lot of things to build on. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when you look at the game, there were 20 missed tackles. There were too much inconsistency on offense. You know, special teams was okay. You know, so we need to really just have a great week. One day at a time, we need to have a great day today and then have a great Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and be ready to go.
See, Clint, to me, the week was really bad because of what it is that his team did. And how he got his team going, and how the leaders on his team came out on Thursday night against the Chiefs. Of all the teams, and I watched a ton of football yesterday, but of all the teams, the Texans looked the most like it was a preseason game.
They were 32nd, no question.
I watched some of, hell, even the Browns came out a bit at times, and the Jets, they came out. But the Texans looked like they were playing a different game than everybody else. Like they were playing a scrimmage or something like that, right? And I'm not gonna try to disrespect the Chiefs and say, oh, the reason why they beat them because the Texans weren't taking it serious. I mean, it was just clear. They hadn't hit. They hadn't been had been physical, and I think that goes to the coaching staff and the decision Bill O'Brien made of how they're going through camp, and then. They mentally and emotionally weren't into a game that doesn't make any sense at all for how the team just whooped your ass in the last game and you lost to them. They were not mentally in a game that their players should have been in. And that, to me, is on players as well. His team came out and looked like they were playing something else. Like, I don't know, I can remember in high school where sometimes I would talk to the center as a D tackle and say, hey, man. Stalemate on this one. We're working on some stuff. Let's just stalemate on this one. You don't have to go hard. Don't have to. You know, that's what the Texans came out like.
Yeah.
That's what they came out. And to me, that's the big issue after watching the entire week and seeing everybody else play at a regular season level and then watch the Houston Texans play week two in the preseason level.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. I mean, it's discouraging. It's not something that you want to hear. Oh, we'll just. It's just one game, man. Don't worry about it. It wasn't. I could say it was one game. Don't worry about it. If it was, you know, a couple of bad decisions, a couple of bad interceptions, a couple of fumbles. You know, the 20 missed tackles. I can try to wrap my head around that being week one and no training camp. But there's just a lot of things that you look at with the Texans that are very similar to what we watched last year throughout the season.
Ravens game
with training camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inability to create separation, the you know, you clearly Frank Clark, clearly your offensive line is struggling and you're dropping back trying to take shots down the field.
What'd you say? You watch one play where they just cut Frank loose, go.
One play they didn't even account for Frank Clark. Like how do you not account for, period? Slid away from him with nobody to protect. So even, let's say the running back screwed up.
And that was at the end of the half, right, where they were trying to drive for points.
Yeah, they were trying. critical moment. You know, there was the slot. They slid the protection left. Frank Clark unblocked. And let's say that the entire offensive line was right and whoever was responsible for Frank Clark screwed up. That would have been a back or a tight end. What kind of scheme is going to put a back or a tight end on Frank Clark? None, I hope. I hope that's not part of the plan.
No.
Right, and so when you just the that play particularly happened at a moment which championship teams execute in those moments, man. The one time that Bill O'Brien.
The Jags executed it. That
yeah.
Yesterday.
Look. The one time. Think about it like this. And I'm not giving Bill O'Brien an out. I'm just painting a picture for you. The one time that Bill O'Brien comes out, it was 14-7 at the time.
Yep.
I think they had the ball. It was a minute and a half, or 2 minutes. There was about 2 minutes left. So he essentially could have just ran the football, forced them to use their timeouts, maybe got a couple first downs, milked the clock out, and maybe had a shot at a field goal, right? But he didn't do that. He stayed aggressive, and they get down there, make a couple of big plays. Jordan Akins makes a great play and makes a guy miss a tackle and goes and gets a big chunk play. And they get down there, and you're on fringe, your own field goal fringe. I mean, you another first down, and it's a chip shot. And you go blown protection where Frank Clark comes free. The next play, I believe, is a blown protection where Deshaun Watson drops his eyes. Instead of him getting – I don't know – I haven't seen that all 22 is not out yet, so I don't know exactly why. But instead of him dropping his eyes and just dumping the ball to Duke Johnson, he dances around in the pocket a little bit and then tries to throw it to Duke late, and it doesn't work. And then he airmails one down the right sideline on a go route.
That never had a chance.
I mean, that's – it doesn't – I don't need to see the all 22 to give you a specific reason why, even though I pride myself on doing that. I know Larry and Stafford, I know you hate when I come on here and tell you I need to see all 22, but that's what the hell I do. I don't need that all 22 to go, great teams execute in those moments. You at the very least get your coach said, hey, hell with it. Let's go. Be aggressive. I ain't worried about them. I'm not worried about Kansas City getting the ball and driving down and scoring a touchdown and then getting the ball coming out at halftime and scoring another time. I ain't worried about that. I'm trying to tie this ball game up. Let's be aggressive. And you don't execute. I mean,
It starts with the coach.
You're not physical, and you don't execute in moments that are game-changing moments. That is precisely what separates a champion from a good team.
Your coach, it starts with your coaching staff. If your team goes out looking the way that they did, unprepared, it starts with the coach. But, and also with the coach, the preparation of how they attack the offseason and training camp, not hitting, and that decision to me, I think, backfired. They were trying to really keep the guys healthy, but that backfired because I don't think they were ready for the physicality of a football game at the rate that the Chiefs were. That, to me, is the coach. As I said yesterday, 55%, hell, I'll even push it to 60%. Is on Bill O'Brien and the coaching staff. But that other stuff, that's on players. The players just they just weren't.
It's on somebody. I don't give a damn if it's the coach.
It's on them all, but I mean, it's not just one person.
I don't care who – if it's a coach and you got a player's coach and you got a motivator coach, then your coach does it. If you don't have that and the players – somebody's got to do it. If you're a fringe AFC championship contender the way the Texans have proven to be, somebody's got to do it.
Tyler, Clint, great job. Bill O'Brien show coming up next. I'm Ron, the show Hughley. We love you, Houston. A lovely day.
Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.